If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Through the night, thunder, thunder, thunder. listening to Thunder from Billy and the Kids, a tune whose lyrics were written by Robert Hunter and passed on to Billy Strings for music and arranging by Bill Kreutzmann. It was originally performed at the Grateful Mahalo back in May in Hawaii to celebrate Billy Kreutzmann's birthday when this incarnation of Billy and the Kids first formed. Billy Strings has also played the tune on his own tour. Welcome into episode 355 of the Sound Podcast. I'm Ira Haberman, and joining us somewhere in cyberspace is Adam Karsh. Adam, how are you, buddy?
Great. Good to see you. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good, man. So we're going to try something different today on the podcast. I think after 334 episodes, why not? Why not give something new a try?
I'm down for this.
Okay. So we just played a Billy and the Kids tune, Thunder. I should mention that it was released... The Red Rocks performance of Billy and the Kids was released July 12th and 13th, 2021, is now available on nugs.net, both if you have the streaming app and if you want to purchase those shows. And I'd encourage you to do so because they're excellent shows. If you're a Deadhead, if you like the music of the Grateful Dead, if you like the music of any of the artists that are in the band, you'll definitely want to check it out. So Billy and the Kids right now is Billy Kreutzmann, Tom Hamilton Jr., who you know from Brothers Past and J-Rad and Ghostlight, Dan Magner from the Disco Biscuits on keys, Reed Mathis on bass, Billy Strings on guitar, obviously, and James Casey, who plays saxophone in the Trey Anastasio Band, but also now in Billy and the Kids. So check out Billy and the Kids from Red Rocks, July 12th and 13th, available now on nugs.net. It's been a crazy week for people who are following tours and tour announcements and stuff. This Delta variant has shaken not just the world, but, you know, our concert viewing and our community in a big way. You know, when Phish first started their tour, and we'll talk about Phish's tour, at least the beginning of their summer tour coming up in the next section. But, you know, when they announced this tour, there were all kinds of concerns that people weren't masking it up at these shows and who knows who was vaccinated. And, you know, it's just a petri dish for the Delta variant. So there was an announcement this week by Phish that the next leg of their tour, you'll be required to either show proof of vaccination or proof of being tested and having a negative test, obviously, for COVID at the next leg of their tour. But other bands have done the same. You know, Dead & Company have announced that they'll be doing the same thing, and their tour starts this Friday, August 20th, at Citi Field in New York. And slowly but surely, AEG Live has announced that they'll be doing the same thing. Live Nation has announced that they'll be doing the same thing. So as we go on here throughout the summer and into the fall, and probably, you know, for the next little bit, we'll probably have to prove that we've been vaccinated or that we've been tested. Nobody's telling you have to get tested or you have to get vaccinated, rather. If you don't want to get vaccinated, don't. But I'd encourage you to do so. But if you don't want to get vaccinated, then at least get tested so everybody can have a good time at these shows and not be worried that, you know, once the show ends and they go home a couple of days later, they come down with COVID type symptoms. Which is the case for John Bell from Widespread Panic. They played a couple shows. They played three shows last week or the week before, and he's contracted COVID. So they had to postpone this weekend's Austin shows, which sucks for everybody who was either heading to Austin or was in Austin. And those shows will be rescheduled for October 8th through 10th. So this is a serious thing, right? I mean, Adam, I pretty much know how you feel about this, but, you know, if people are going to get sick, and particularly members of the band, I think Grateful Shred had to cancel some dates. If people are getting sick at these shows, particularly musicians, it just sucks for everybody, right?
Absolutely. And, like, I'm totally down with proof of vaccinations or proof of a negative COVID test. I mean, you want to protect the patrons. You want to protect the band members, because if a bunch of people get sick, or especially the musicians get sick, you're shutting down a tour and then everyone loses out.
Yeah. And you don't want to be that guy that, you know, feels guilty afterwards, although I'm not sure you would, but You don't want to be that guy that says, oh man, it's because of me that the tour had to shut down. You know, if we want to continue seeing live music, we just got to be smart about it. And I think that's the bottom line. And nobody's saying you have to get vaccinated, although we'd encourage you to. We are saying that you have to prove that you aren't, you know, don't have the symptoms or tested negatively for COVID. I think that's fair. That will certainly be the case coming up. The other crazy story from this past weekend is J-Rad were playing what they called Lock-In Festival, at least one of three weekends that I think are on tap for Lock-In at the Virginia site of Lock-In. But it's been a, how can I put this delicately, a shit show, to say the very least, because it's been raining on and off the entire weekend. So there was supposed to be a set by The Slip, who are the Barr Brothers reuniting, a potpourri of J-Rad sets, J-Rad playing other shit, and that's how they build it. So they had a Pink Floyd set, and they had an Allman Brothers set. And it's been really hard to follow, because I think Friday night it was canceled. And then Saturday they played and they ended up having to stop. And even today they played a little bit, or yesterday they played a little bit and they had to stop. I say today or yesterday because we're actually taping this Sunday night. So if we go back and forth on that, cut us some slack, because we're not used to talking about yesterday and today or tomorrow or the day after, whatever. Just kind of some slack on the timing. But it's really hard. It's hard to follow threads online. It's hard to follow set lists because it's been so disjointed and rainy and just crazy. And, you know, people are shitting all over the promoter, who is Pete Shapiro, saying that, you know, offering people tickets to next weekend's version of Lock-In or the weekend after is not good enough. There's the Fred Festival with Goose coming up, I think next weekend. And then there's a festival with Tedeschi Trucks headlining the weekend after. And anyway, that's not, people don't want just tickets to those shows. People want refunds, which I think is fair. But to poop all over Pete Shapiro and to question his, you know, people are questioning if he's really a big deadhead because he's not fair to other deadheads, because he's not refunding their money. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on, right? There's the fees related to ticketing. There's the venue charges. There's insurance. There's all kinds of things that have to be worked out. I'm sure that the folks at Dayglo Productions and Relics and Lock-In will all do good by the customers. And hopefully if you were at the show or were supposed to be at the show Friday night, you'll somehow be compensated more than just the tickets. But if not, listen, going to see Goose or going to see the Tedeschi Trucks band is not the worst thing in the world. I get it. It's a schlep to go back down there to Virginia at the site of Lock-In, but you know, there are worse things in life probably. So, you know, just hold tight. Everything's going to be all right. And I'm sure everything will be taken care of. Obviously you should follow Joe Russo's Almost Dead on Facebook. That's where Peter Costello, the band's tour manager, will probably update information as they have it. Why don't we take a break here? And when we come back, I'm going to try and dissect Phish Tour, at least the first leg of Phish Summer Tour 2021. That'll happen right after this. Hey, I wanted to make sure that you all know all the places where you can join the conversation and interact with us and the rest of the Sound Podcast community. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, just follow @TheSound with Ira. Also, the best way to reach out directly to us is on those platforms, preferably Twitter. But whatever works best for you, obviously works well for us. Now, back to the show. You have been ghosting me silent. I walk through this factory town. Some loud industrial clanging, head banging it sound. My while I've been on my feet now. I don't need your jacket. That was Phish and their debut of the Mike Gordon tune Mall, live from Nashville, Tennessee, August 3rd, 2021. Thanks to the taping team of Team No Drama for posting that on eTree.org so we could share it all with you. That was just one of many tour and repertoire debuts for Phish on this front leg of their summer tour, which wrapped up last night or tonight in Atlantic City. Again, bear with us as we get our feet wet here, but basically they wrapped up the tour August 15th. The second half, the West Coast run, starts August 27th at the Gorge and wraps up September 5th at Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Colorado. You wanted to mention something before we broke. I cut you off and you wanted to say something, Adam.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, about the Lockin' Festival and dates being rescheduled. Like, you can't shit on Pete Shapiro. What are you going to do? I mean, it's the weather. Obviously, it sucks. Obviously, people are pissed off. I'd be pissed off if I was inconvenienced like that. But like, what are you going to do? It's the weather. You can't control that. And until inside venues are a thing again and weather isn't a factor, we all have to deal with that.
Yeah, exactly. Just lay off. Like, get, like, that's the thing, right? People with cell phones now, you can almost immediately criticize and critique everything that's going on without like taking a deep breath and letting everybody figure it out. Everybody knows that you have a ticket if you bought your tickets properly. And, you know, just hold on to your tickets, hold on to your invoices for your tickets. And I'm sure something nice will happen for you. And if not, then you have an opportunity to voice your concern. But like, chill, please.
I agree.
So there's two ways we can do this here. I'm going to break down Phish Tour up until now. So every date from when the tour, well, not every date, but some of the highlights, at least from when the tour began in Arkansas till Atlantic City. Now there's two ways to do this. I can first start with some of my highlights, some of the songs or some of the things that I thought were really cool, or we can talk about some of the tour debuts. What feels better to you here, Adam? What do you think?
I like the tour debuts. I'm down with that.
Okay, so let's start with tour debuts. Yeah, sure. So by my count, there have been six sort of tour debuts, four of which are songs from Trey's solo album, Lonely Trip, which he put out in 2020, and it was kind of like his COVID record. It was all the songs that he was working on with Tom Marshall, his co-writer, and a few other people. And so they performed I Never Needed You Like This Before on July the 28th. They performed Evolve on August 4th in Nashville. Lonely Trip, which is the name of that solo record, August 11th in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Wave of Hope, August 7th in Noblesville. The venue formerly called Deer Creek. I don't know what they call it now, but you know, it's funny, like all these venues are getting renamed and you're like, did they make a new venue in Noblesville? I just know Deer Creek. Anyway,
I know
it's weird. So those were the songs that were debuted from Lonely Trip. And then there were two new Mike Gordon songs played, Mull, which you heard off the top here of this section, which debuted August 3rd in Nashville. It has those Little Feet feels to me anyway. It's very funky in parts, and that makes sense because it's Mike Gordon on bass. And then the other tune which they debuted, also a Mike Gordon tune, August 7th, Casual Enlightenment, also has Little Feet feels. So Gordo must have been listening to a lot of Little Feet while he was secluded from the rest of the band. But I love it. I mean, more Little Feet or more things that sound like Little Feet. I'm down with that for sure.
Yeah, that works for me. Anything anything in the Little Feet, you know, genres, I'm good with that.
Yeah,
they're great.
Yeah. And we've included a link in the show notes for Lonely Trip. So we've included notes. If we've played any song here or if we've mentioned, we obviously can't direct you to every show that Phish played on this tour, although you could go to phish.net or phish.com, or you can download Phish Live, the app. You'll certainly be able to find all of these shows there. And if, you know, we can provide a link to Spotify like we've done in the show notes for Trey's solo record, Lonely Trip, you'll be able to check Lonely Trip out as well. I just wanted to mention some of the highlights, at least for me. Now, everybody's going to have different highlights, obviously. Just a couple of things that really caught my ear and my eye, because I watched virtually every show from this tour, and I've definitely listened to every show from this tour. I love Couch Tour, by the way. So here are some of my highlights. The August 1st, Alpharetta, so that's Alpharetta, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, there was that 35-minute tweezer, August 1st, which was just bananas. I think it's the fourth longest tweezer in history.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. And what's great about it is that, you know, the Arkansas show was sort of flat. The tour opener was sort of flat, but it was great to see them come back with a vengeance in Georgia. And that tweezer certainly was the shit, as they say. Then August 6th in Noblesville at the venue formerly called Deer Creek, there was a 27-minute blaze on into Wilson into a 25-minute simple. in the second set. And I thought that was outstanding. That's like what, almost 50 minutes of music from just three songs. I mean, they're just killing it. I mean, there's no other way to describe what Phish is doing right now on tour. They're having a great time. It's like people are calling this type four sort of thing where the jams are even crazier than they've been in the past. So yeah, you'll definitely want to check out that Noblesville show August 6th. Then August 7th and the next night, there was a 60-minute stash in the first set. And it was like type two jamming, very early type jamming from Noblesville. And I really enjoyed that. And then finally, the show opener, August 15th in Atlantic City, August 15th. They did a really cool, funky, really funky Llama. So you'll want to check that out because it's so different from Llama. They've done it before. They've slowed Llama down before. So
I saw that. It was really cool.
Yeah. So I'm sure that's the way Llama's going to be from now on, which is fine. It's, you know, the original incarnation is so fast that it's kind of fun when they do new things with songs. So those would be my highlights and the tour debuts from Phish Tour thus far. As I mentioned, August 27th, the tour will pick up again at the Gorge. And I'm sure that will be a great show to watch. And you could get information on that at livefish.com because it's just a beautiful venue. And we have friends that have been there and we know how beautiful Washington State is. So you'll want to check that out. And of course, the tour will wrap up at Dick's September 5th. We're going to wrap this segment up now. And when we come back, well, we'll just talk a bit about what we're listening to and things that you should be checking out and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we'll be right back after this. Did you know that we're constantly building playlists of artists we feature on the show? We also have lots of fun playlists and, of course, 7 things you should be listening to and all the things you should be listening to at our Spotify account. Simply search for The Sound Podcast on Spotify or go to thesoundpodcast.com/Spotify and you can easily follow the channel or individual playlists. Now, back to the show. Thank you. You've been listening to Joe Russo's Almost Dead and their cover of the Allman Brothers instrumental In Memory of Elizabeth Reed from the Westville Music Bowl in New Haven, Connecticut, June 19th, 2021. You know, it's incredible. J-Rad, they tape almost every show on their own, and they make them available, not right away necessarily, because they do go back and fix stuff up, but they make them available. So if you're not following Joe Russo's Almost Dead on Facebook and you like what you hear, you definitely should, because they send out links. And usually it's a Wednesday. Usually they send out new links Wednesdays or Thursdays. But when they're very heavily into touring, they don't do it as regularly. But I mean, it's just, you should check it out. And all of this stuff lives on the Live Music Archive. So you can go there too. We'll include a link to get the June 19th, 2021 show in the show notes. And if you liked what you heard there, you'll hear more from that show a little bit later. So I've said a lot about what I've been listening to. It's been a lot of Phish. It's been a lot of J-Rad. It's been a lot of Billy and the Kids. I'm always listening to too much music. Sometimes people say, you know, do you listen in your car? And I'm like, it's the only chance I get to just sit in my car and not have to listen to anything, because I enjoy the peace and quiet of just rolling with the air conditioning or the windows down, because it's just, my ears need a break. So enough from me. I'm curious, Adam, what have you been up to? What have you been listening to lately?
So in heavy rotation since it was released, I'm listening to the Garcia Live Volume 16, 1991. November 15th from Madison Square Garden. I have that on heavy rotation. It is fan-fucking-tastic. I don't know why. And just for everyone listening, just disclaimer, I am a massive, massive Grateful Dead fan and a massive, massive Jerry Garcia band. Any incarnation, iteration, Jerry Garcia, anything related, that is where I'm at. So yes, of course, I know Phish. I love Phish. I've seen a bunch of shows. I know J-Rad, like Ira, I know everything you're talking about. Billy and the Kids, I think they're amazing. They have unbelievable energy, and Billy Strings is so the right fit. So like, I get it, but just for reference, massive Grateful Dead fan. Right here, they're my religion. Anyway, Garcia Live Volume 16, the deal on that show is excellent. The energy. I don't know why Jerry sounds and plays differently post-Brent with JGB than he does the Dead. I don't know if you heard it, if you can hear it or feel it or notice this. I think he has a different energy with JGB post-Brent. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, totally fair. Yeah, I think he always has. You know, we passed along some stuff earlier this week from the shows that he did with Nicky Hopkins. And that also, too, yeah, is a totally different thing, right? Because those Nicky Hopkins shows, it's him playing piano, and it's not Merle or Melvin playing Hammond B.
So I love you Melvin.
Hear the difference of Jerry's tone up against like a piano versus up against the Hammond, and not to take anything away from Melvin or Merle, but
of course, different.
It's just a different tone, right? And Jerry, those shows, that you'll have to check that out too. We'll leave a note. But that band is, you know, Ron Tutt on drums, John Conn on bass, Jerry obviously on guitar, and Nicky Hopkins, who, you know, was with the Rolling Stones and then has a resume. You know, you can look it up on Wikipedia on your own, but he has an incredible resume playing piano. And so that is another great Jerry Garcia band-ish type thing to listen to. Aside from, I agree with you, the JGB Live Volume 16 is incredible.
Bananas.
What else have you got going on?
I've been also listening to the last few Dave's picks. Volume 37, 38. I have those on pretty high rotation. But I also have been listening. Usually I don't pay attention to the bonus discs, not because I don't like it, just like I'm more of the, I will listen to the volumes, the bonus discs, and I don't have all the bonus discs. But I was able to listen to Dave. I'm looking at this on my screen here. Dave's Picks Volume 38, bonus disc, recorded 1973, September 7th, I think September 7th, from Nassau, or depending on how they do the date, is it July 9th? I don't know how they do the dates. But Nassau Coliseum, The Eyes of the World on this show, I'm looking at track nine, the Eyes of the World, is so good. It's a classic. Really? 73. I am all over this Eyes of the World. Now, typically I like a 90, you know, my favorite version is March 29th, 1990 with Branford Marsalis. That's my favorite. I think that's like a lot of people's favorite. That is the, that's my favorite thing they've ever recorded live. But the Eyes of the World on this show, it's a very good 73 groove. They have that sound. And listen to it, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's like a Slipknot tease in the jam.
Oh, well, I'll check that out and I'll let everybody know after I hear it. Obviously, that's Keith on piano, right?
Yes.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. And what was there anything else that you wanted to mention?
I think that's it. I like that. I like the, if I even go back, is it Dave's 36? Dave's, yeah, Dave's Picks Volume 36. It's a 87 show, I believe. Oh my God. Just very strong. And I think it's a Matrix recording. Like, it's not pure soundboard. I'm pretty sure it's a Matrix.
Yeah.
And just off the top in the midnight hour, just Brent. Ah, it's so Brent and the energy. And they're just all, it's such a great lead off tune. And I just, the first time I put this show on and I heard it, I'm like, I'm in for a treat. And it's fantastic. It's a great show.
Awesome.
There you go.
So aside from, you know, live stuff that we listen to, we do this thing every week. And originally it was a podcast, but we've kind of decided to just make it a playlist now on Spotify. So for the week of August 15th, we've posted the seven things you should be listening to. And I'll just go through some of the tunes here in case you're interested in checking it out. It's available on Spotify. Of course, like I've said before, every time we've talked about providing you with music, we've provided a link in the show notes. There's a great cover of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters by Chris Stapleton. By the way, the thing about seven things that you should be listening to is that we get to explore beyond the jam band realm, beyond the Grateful Dead, Fish realm. We get to explore other things that we think are cool that are, you know, not necessarily secondary, but adjunct to jam bands. And certainly Chris Stapleton fits into that. And if you don't know Chris Stapleton, he's an incredible country artist. And I say country, he's not new country. He's much more like outlaw country. And you'll definitely enjoy his voice. And you'll definitely enjoy his arrangement of Nothing Else Matters. So check that out on Seven Things. And I'll just go down the list. The Grateful Dead are releasing another box set from 71 live at the Fox Theater. And they've released Mr. Charlie from that show. That would probably be October 12th, 1971. Although, like you said, it could be December 10th, 1971.
Right.
We got to get that. We got to get that fixed. We got to get everybody, whether you live in Canada or you live in the United States, we got to get that, you know, somewhat straight. And we will eventually. And we probably sound like boneheads by not knowing the right date, but whatever. Steely Dan is releasing the first of what will be hopefully many future live shows. They haven't done a lot of live shows, but they'll be releasing live at the Met in Philadelphia. I think it's the first time they're releasing a live album in something like 25 years. Now, obviously, Steely Dan is not the same now. It's just Donald Fagen. Walter Becker passed away a couple years ago. But, well, Steely Dan is never really Steely Dan, right? I mean, every album has different artists who perform in the studio. So Steely Dan is, you know, Walter Becker and Donald Fagen, and then a whole bunch of different Skunk Baxter was in the band for a while. There's always different incarnations of Steely Dan. Anyway, Hey 19 Live at the Met is on this week's Seven Things. Karina Reichman, our friend, our bass player, our friend, and she's not our bass player. We don't have a band yet.
Our house, the house band bass player.
Yeah, the house band,
house band.
No, we don't yet.
Before you continue, sorry, have you heard, speaking of Steely Dan, David Crosby doing Wooden Ships with Steely Dan?
No, but you know my policy on David Crosby.
I know. But I, musically speaking, it's fantastic. Anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
One of our bass players, one of our friends, a friend of ours, a friend of the show, Karina Reichman, has released, she's the bass player, of course, in the Marco Benevento band, and she does a lot of sit-ins with Everyone Orchestra, and she's just a great bass player. She released Arbitrary, so we've put that single in Seven Things. Southern Avenue have a new record coming out, not this week, but I believe August 27th, and so they've released a new single, Control, and yes, Ori Naftali of Southern Avenue will be on the show in the next couple of weeks. There's a really cool reggae cover of the Allman Brothers, or to be more precise, Warren Haynes' Soul Shine with Roots of Creation, the Agrolites, Jesse Wagner, Brett Wilson, and a whole bunch of other people. So we've included that in Seven Things that you should be listening to this week. And finally, and probably we should have led with this, there's a new Bela Fleck record coming that is going to be outstanding because of the guests that he has on the show, on the record, but also because this is going to be Bela playing banjo in a bluegrass style, and he's going back to basics. So we've included the song Vertigo, which features friend of the show Sam Bush, Stuart Duncan, Edgar Meyer, and Brian Sutton. And there are all kinds of guests on this new Bela Fleck record. And we hope to have Bela on the show. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we hope to have Bela on the show. And when we do, we'll pass along the details of when that will be, probably on either on social media or, of course, on a show. So check out Seven Things You Should Be Listening To for the week of August 15th, 2021. Before we wrap things up, I do want to mention that we're always updating. There's a master playlist on Spotify called All the Things You Should Be Listening To. And it currently has 202 songs, I think, in it. So what we're doing is we are moving every song from Seven Things You Should Be Listening To into there. We're also moving songs that either I listen to, or that Adam listens to, or that people tell us to check out. We move those in, and eventually we'll be merging it with all of the back catalog of songs that we've played on the Seven Things You Should Be Listening To podcast, which we're no longer doing. We're just going to be doing playlists from now on. So we're going to be merging that stuff in too. So you'll definitely want to, I know, I guess it's follow or bookmark All the Things that you should be listening to on the Spotify playlist, because it is dope. Just before we leave, again, some of the things that we want to talk about and highlight for you on this week's edition of Live 5, Billy Strings broke out a cover of Peggy O from the Grateful Dead on August 11th at a show in Pittsburgh, and we'll be playing some of that on Live 5, and we'll also be playing more stuff from the Billy and the Kids shows on Live 5 this week. But before we leave you, let's head back to the Westville Music Bowl, June 19th, 2021, for J-Rad's cover of the Grateful Dead's My Brother Esau. Adam, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you. That was fun.
I hope that if you enjoyed what you listened to and want to hear more of the show like this, let us know at The Sound with Ira on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram. I think this has been a lot of fun, and certainly something that we've been looking to do, and we just didn't have the cojones. There's no other way to put it. It took 354 shows for us to do it this way, but we're happy we did. We will be still having guests on the show. We'll still be playing new music on the show. We'll still be doing all the things we've done, but we wanted an opportunity just to talk you and I with Adam together, instead of always relying on guests to fill the time. So thanks so much for tuning in. Here is My Brother Esau, June 19th, 2021, from the Westville Music Bowl in New Haven, Connecticut.
Now, and before the killing was done, he was Brother, and it's man to man, it's face to face, it's hand to hand. We shadow box the silent world within. Shadow dance never ends, never ends, never ends. Shadow box in the apocalypse.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.